Okay, so we're ready to go here.
And when you say go onto the stream, what do you mean?
Okay, I'll explain. First, let me do this thing. This is the Pacifica National Board's Finance Committee. It's February 10th, 2009. This is our committee meeting that we're coming to order. Right now we're on the stream. So what that means is this is being streamed over the web, and it's also being archived, so people can download this meeting in the future.
Okay. All right.
This is Renee. This is what we do for meetings that are not in closed session.
Okay.
So let's see. So the first thing we should do is call roll. So I'm going to ask our previous and I hope current new secretary, R. Paul Martin, to call the roll.
Actually, I was never the secretary, but I'll call it.
Thank you, R. Paul.
Grace Aaron
is here.
Brian Edwards Seekert.
Here.
Sherry Gendelman.
Present.
LaVarne Williams. Renee Bowser.
Here.
Alberto Luera.
Here.
Susan Young. R. Paul Martin. Here. Summer Reese. Jamie Ross.
Here.
Okay, that's seven. We have a quorum.
So we have a quorum, so we're good to go. Okay, the next thing I guess we should do is perhaps the first thing, since this is a new year, it might be and we have some new people here, it might be good. Well, perhaps we should wait to do this till later, till we have more people on the call. So why don't we move ahead with the agenda approval. I was appointed convener, so I've sent around a draft agenda. I hope you've all had a chance to look at it. It goes like this. One is pro tem chair, two, select secretary, three, introduce ICFO. Probably we should change that to introduce everyone. Item four is first quarter financials. Item five is recent fund drives, KPFT, KPFA, WPFW, WBAI. Item six is cash management and prioritization. Item seven is priorities for NFC for the year. Item eight would be transfer of collateral for line of credit. Item nine is audit and response. I actually think we should postpone that because I understand that the audit's not finished yet. And item 10 is loan policy, which is an item that was referred to us by the PNB at the most recent meeting. Now, what do people approve this agenda as it stands, or would people like to amend it?
This is Brian. I'd like to throw something out there. I'm a little bit concerned about national staffing and wondering if we could devote a few minutes to it at the end.
Sure.
I'm worried we may be demanding too much of the one accountant we currently have in our national office.
Okay, actually, there is some news there, but yeah, we can put that. Why don't we put that after item six, cash management and prioritization?
And will the cash management and prioritization, will that talk about, the loan policy, is that going to talk about what happened, what the vote was at the PNB?
What the loan policy is, as people may know, there was a proposed loan, which was the PNB decided not to take of last month. But at the in-person PNB meeting in January, a PNB member made a motion for a loan policy, which actually I do not have the exact wording of on hand. And we decided rather than to vote on it there at the meeting, this is for any equity loan, not for the specific one that was being considered. Rather than vote on it right there at the PNB meeting, the PNB decided to refer it to the National Finance Committee.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, are we going to talk about whether that passed, and if so, what was the rationale?
No, nothing passed. We actually, what our assignment is to develop a loan policy. That's what the PNB gave to us.
Okay, so they didn't vote on whether to take that loan.
No, they voted not to take that loan.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to find out.
Yes, the PNB voted not to take.
Oh, okay.
One thing I'd like to add to this agenda, I would like
and
to
so
put.
And so, can that be is that going to be discussed?
Well, you could certainly add that, but why don't we leave it there, loan policy and possible loan. Why don't we make the agenda item that?
Okay.
I mean, in my thinking, decisions on a loan will depend on, you know, how we view our cash position and cash needs. One thing I'd like to add, I'd like to adjourn by 10:35. That would be 2 hours after we started.
Good.
Then I'll move approval of the agenda so we can start.
Yes. Okay. Are there any objections to the agenda as it now stands?
Could we?
I thought you were going to modify it and add that the loan policy and
yes,
that.
I've added that, and I've added Brian's item about national staff.
Okay.
Are we also then cutting out the audit and response?
Yeah, why don't we cut that out?
Okay, so what I have then is elect chair, pro tem, elect secretary, introduce CFO. It's going to be introduce everybody.
Yeah.
Introduce everybody. First quarter financials, recent fund drives of stations, cash management to prioritization,
perfect,
national office staffing, priorities for NFC, transfer of collateral for line of credit, and then loan policy and possible loan.
Good.
Staff.
And adjourn at 2035.
National staff is not on what he narrated.
Oh, national staff is between cash management and prioritization and priorities for NFC. It's item 6.5.
National staff is 6.5.
Yeah.
I have 7. National office.
Okay, okay. Okay, good.
Oh, priorities NFC, but that's national staff. Go ahead.
That would be for this year, things we want to. The one member who's not here actually sent a very thoughtful email about things we could do. But why don't we get going here? So item number one is pro tem chair. I should say that I am interested in being chair of the NFC this year. I believe there's one other member, Susan, who I believe is also interested in being chair. And since she's not here, you know, we shouldn't decide, you know, we shouldn't have the actual vote for a chair, or we
Jamie?
Shouldn't do the nomination. So
Jamie?
Why don't we tonight just select the pro tem chair and postpone the decision for chair until next week.
Jamie?
Yes, Alberto?
I nominate you for pro tem chair.
Okay.
I second
you.
That. I second
you don't
that.
Need a second in a committee.
Okay.
Okay, are there any other nominations for pro tem chair? Okay, hearing none, I'll be your pro tem chair. And we'll deal with the permanent chair next week.
Okay. Jamie, just procedurally, you're actually supposed to do officer elections by written ballot.
Okay.
It's not supposed to be actually on the record. So you should have a secretary collect ballots by email or postal mail or whatever convenes them. You don't need to do it online. You just have
right.
to sort of call out for nominations with a deadline and then put out a deadline for receiving ballots for electing a chair.
Well, do you think we should start that process at our next meeting?
Well, if we have emails for everyone who's on the committee, you can start it as soon as this call's over.
Do you meet
okay.
every week?
Well, that's another good question, but hopefully not every week. Maybe every 2 weeks for a little while. Okay, well, if the committee's happy with that process, we can go ahead like that. I thought it might be more helpful, you know, since some of you don't know Susan, you know, at least you could get to see her, you know, you get to interact with Susan for one meeting and get a, you know, be more fair. That was my thought.
I'm assuming if you're going to set a deadline for nominations and another deadline for balloting, it's going to be after our next meeting that ballots are due.
Okay. That sounds like a good plan. I will follow that plan. Okay, so the next item number two, is selection of a secretary. Now, our Paul Martin was not our official secretary last year, but he did a good job of taking minutes, and I was hoping we could actually, if he would agree to do so, our Paul could be the secretary for this year and get all the honor that the official title brings with it.
Honor and benefits.
Yeah, benefits, right. You can put it on your resume.
I think I get a maroon uniform with gold epaulets, right?
Exactly. That we can all see you wearing on the phone. So, Paul, would you be willing to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Barney Williams.
Much. Ron, we're actually in a meeting now. We're selecting our secretary. Is there anybody else who would be interested in being secretary, or
hell no,
our only candidate? Jump at
point of privilege, can I ask folks to mute their phones? Somebody's phone's delivering a lot of static to the mix here.
You can't mute out because you can't get back on the calls, or that's been the experience up until now.
Yeah, actually, it'd be interesting if somebody tried to mute their phone and see if it will let you come back on. We've had a problem coming back on.
I don't have a mute, so.
Oh, muting for these phone calls is #1 usually, but this week the conference call service has been wonky, and it's been difficult to get back on.
I've got my thumb.
Pardon?
I've got my thumb for the mute.
Okay. Well, so it seems like there's no other candidates for secretary, so it looks like our Paul, you are.
Well, actually,
acclamation. I move by acclamation that our Paul be named our secretary.
Actually, I think we still have to do paper ballots and stuff if we're going to do an actual secretary. So.
Okay, well, then why don't we, at the same time we send in ballots for the chair, we'll send in ballots for secretary.
Right, yeah.
Now, can I ask a question?
This evening, our Paul, you can be secretary.
I'll pro tem it tonight, yeah.
May I ask a question on procedure? What rules are you following? Because unless is that in the bylaws? Because I was reading Robert's Rules of Order a couple of weeks ago when we were going to have when I was going to do an election for an ANC here in D.C. And if everyone doesn't mind not doing paper ballots, you don't have to do it.
Okay,
so is that in the bylaws
Renee, that's a good point. I believe that the bylaws do call for paper ballots, and it's
They call for it. There is no discretion. Okay.
You know, in the case of secretary, and anyway, it'll be strictly a formality.
Actually, it calls for secret ballot.
Yes.
It calls for a secret ballot.
Okay. All right. Thank you, R. Paul. Okay, so that's taken care of. Thank you very much, R. Paul. So next, now we're on to item 3, which is introductions. I had originally titled this item "Introduce the Interim CFO." We have a new interim CFO, LaVon Williams, but realized that some of the members of the committee don't know each other. So it's
CFO?
Pardon me. Why don't we go around and start from KPFA area, and can each person introduce yourself and say one sentence, you know, your experience with Pacifica or something like that? Could we start with Sherry?
I'm the former chair of the KPFA Local Advisory Board, who's a plaintiff in the lawsuit. I've been on this board currently for my second term. I was chair of the national board last year.
Okay, thank you, Sherry. And Brian, you should probably say your name.
Brian Edwards Tiekert. I am a staff representative on the KPFA board. Treasurer of that board. I've been treasurer of the board here and on this committee for 4 years now. I think I'm starting my fifth.
Oh, my God.
No, that can't be right. 3 years now, starting my fourth.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Okay, Grace?
Can we take a KPFK last just in case summer gets on?
Okay, sure. How about Alberto? We'll go to KPFT.
Right. I'm the treasurer at KPFT.
And say your name, please.
I'm Alberto Luera, and I'm the treasurer at KPFT, and this is my second term as treasurer, and I'm glad to be here.
Okay. Thank you, Alberto. Okay. Let's go on to WPFW. Renee?
Hi. My name is Renee Bowser, and I'm the new treasurer for WPFW. I don't know that much right now. I haven't been able to meet with the program manager or the finance person because of the fund drive. I've been a listener member of WPFW since the early 90s, except for the time when they took off Democracy Now! And Larry Bensky and those folks. I stopped giving money. and I've only been on the local station board since last year.
Okay, thank you, Renee. Okay, R. Paul?
I'm R. Paul Martin, and I'm a staff rep on the WBAI LSB. I'm the treasurer at WBAI's LSB, and this is my second year on the National Finance Committee.
Hey, thank you, R. Paul, and I'll speak. I'm Jamie Ross. I'm a director from the WBAI LSB. I'm a listener member, and I'm starting my second year on the National Finance Committee and second year as director. Okay, so now we've done all the it's LaVarne's turn. So we have a new interim CFO, LaVarne Williams, and we're very happy to welcome LaVarne to the National Finance Committee. And if you could say a few words about yourself.
You're muted, LaVarne.
LaVarne?
You can't unmute. I had to hang up and call back.
Maybe Grace can introduce herself while LaVarne's out.
Okay, why don't we do Grace then?
My name is Grace Aaron. I'm from KPFK. This is my sixth year on the KPFK local station board, my second year on the Pacifica National Board. I'm currently the chair of the National Board and the acting interim executive director.
Okay, thank you, Grace. LaVarne, are you back? LaVarne's not back. Okay, well then why don't we move on then. The next item on the agenda is first quarter financials. And I believe that I'm not sure whether we have a new report or not. We have to wait for LaVarne, but I don't believe that we do. So I'm proposing that we ask Brian to give a kind of capsule version of the report that he put together and gave to the PNB 2 weeks ago.
Question? Sherry?
Yes. Sherry?
I'm happy to have Brian do that because I thought his report in Los Angeles was excellent given he had to put it together in 2 days. I also want...
This is LaVarne Williams. Sorry.
Oh, hi, LaVarne. We were hoping that you could say a few words of introduction.
Okay. Okay, a few words of introduction. Okay, my name is LaVarne Williams. Is that basically what you want? Okay, I went down to LA for the PNB meeting, and I came back as the interim CFO. And I've worked with Pacifica in various ways. I was on the board, the national board, for about 4 years. The last two, I was, or 3 years. The last two, I was the treasurer. I've been away for a year. I chose not to run in the election in 2007. My background, my education, I have a bachelor's in economics from the University of Pennsylvania. I have an MBA from Washington University in St. Louis. The concentration was in finance. I work for Xerox, basically in positions beginning with an analyst and ending basically as FP&A manager. And then from there, started in Rochester, moved to Dallas, moved to Fremont, California. And from there, I began working with Applied Materials. I worked there for about 5 years. I retired in 96, and that's when I became involved with KPFA, answering phones during a fund drive. And from there, I was involved somewhat or a lot in the whole 1999 debacle. I was a consultant as working with the 50th anniversary committee. And as I told people, I went from fundraising to hell raising with the lockout at the station. And then I was away for a while all of the negotiations and for the constructing the bylaws. And then I came back. I actually had a consultant assignment with the pharmaceutical company down in Silicon Valley in Santa Clara. Then after the bylaws were passed, and then there were the elections, so then I became involved again and ran for the board and did that for about, like I said, for about 4 years, was on the national board for the last two, and our last three, and was the treasurer for the last two. So then I'm back again, and I hope that I can help the foundation. Well, my task is to help the foundation to try to regain some stability along with the other really measures that are needed to somehow begin to, again, to establish some financial or continued and improved financial stability.
Okay,
and
thanks.
That's it.
Thank you. One question, LaVon. Do you have any updated report for first quarter financials?
No, the first quarter financials, actually, Brian had presented those down at the PNB meeting. And, you know, what I have is just in terms of we're looking at cash flow projections for the national office through the end of the month. And we're, as Lonnie always says, we're just at break even. So, you know, the concern is, of course, how well the fund drives actually, you know, how much revenues are generated through the fund drives. And, you know, we're also really involved now in terms of completing the audit, because the preliminary results were given at the PNB meeting in L.A. I have a meeting tomorrow with the audit manager, so to go over all the other reports and to see where we are, and also to look at implementing some measures of improvement on the audit point.
Okay, good. Well, on our agenda, the next item was a report on first quarter financials, which I was going to ask Brian to do a short version of the report that he
May I ask a question before you go on?
Yes, hold on. I hear you. I just wanted to finish my thought. So I was going to ask Brian to do that. Okay, Renee?
Well, I was on the first quarter financials, and a couple of people mentioned the financial report from the board meeting. Could that be sent out to people before, you know, if there's a financial report that people are going to be talking about, can you send it out by email before the meeting?
Yes, I actually did send it to the other members, but I just got your email today, so I haven't sent it to you yet. But I shall send it to you now.
Okay.
Sherry?
Yes, go ahead, Sherry.
I had not finished my statement. When Brian is done, I would like a report from the ICFO about the current financial status of the foundation. I want her to tag on to Brian's report. Thanks.
May I ask one other question about the finances?
Yes.
Do you use forms that are used throughout the various stations? I mean, are they consistent forms? Are we looking at consistent periods?
Well, that's an excellent question. Hopefully, we're supposed to, but, you know, it doesn't always work out that way. Hopefully, that question will become clear as we go through the stuff.
Process.
Yeah,
it's mandated by any of our internal rules or bylaws or anything like that?
We all use the same periods. We're all in the same fiscal year. And we use centralized accounting software, Great Plains. So people are, in theory, using the same line items and accounting. But the actual practice at a few stations sometimes makes expenses land on different lines than they would elsewhere.
You said you all use the same software?
Yeah.
And what is that software?
Great Plains.
Great Plains?
That's right.
And is that something that's just sold in the store over the counter, or is that something that was developed?
No, it's not a custom package. Many organizations use it, and we run it off a server so that when all the business managers at each of the stations are making general ledger entries, that's immediately collected and available to the national office so they can generate consolidated reports.
Okay. Probably we should go ahead so we don't fall behind on our agenda. So, Brian, are you prepared to do this then?
Yeah, I'll take you on a quick spin through that report. For those of you who read it, I think the new information since then was we got a balance sheet for the end of the first quarter, which we did not have at the PNB meeting, and also financials for KPFK current through the end of January 31st. Basically, the broad framework that the network finds itself in is that when we were going through the budgeting process for this fiscal year, several parts of the network were running large deficits, rapidly exhausting what little we had in the way of cash reserves, and forcing the national office into the role of playing banker, kind of pushing money around to places that were having trouble making payroll or making rent. So the national board, on the recommendation of this committee, approved what amounted to a number of austerity budgets requiring large cutbacks at several stations and the national office to try to bring spending into line with what we thought would be a reasonable amount of fundraising to expect. So we're looking at the first quarter of that budget year to see how stations in the national office performed against budget. And I'll take you on a quick spin through what we've had. Going in alphabetical order, KPFA, which is financially speaking the largest unit in the network, outperformed its budget in the first quarter by $165,000. So its bottom line was $165,000, better than budget. Part of that's basically a timing fluke. We started our fall fund drive, which spans fiscal years, a couple days later than budgeted, so it pushed about $100,000 in extra revenue onto this year's books. So it's not a real performance, it's not us doing a real performance gain, it's just where it's getting clocked. We did beat our fall fund drive goal by $70,000. We had an unbudgeted one-day fund drive that raised $62,000. We had an unbudgeted web drive that raised about $35,000. And we beat budget on our craft fair, which is our major fundraising event each year, by about $60,000. But I think, and I have to go over this, but I think that's a timing fluke as well, having to do with when some payments came in. KPFA has also been overspending its salaries budget. The budget had called for about $300,000 in staff reductions here. They've been only partially implemented. And, you know, basically overspending on salaries and raising more than budgeted, we've come out ahead so far. But as of this fund drive, that's over. It looks virtually impossible that KPFA is going to make goal on the fund drive that's underway, that will be ending Friday. Going kind of over the curve of pledges where there's a little surge at the end, it looks like we will end anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 short on the fund drive.
Out of how much?
Out of $850,000. So that's a 12 to 16% shortfall.
Thank you.
What does that mean in terms of bottom line cash for the station? When we take off the 10% of pledges that aren't fulfilled, the roughly 6% we pass through to our associate station, KFCF, premium costs, credit card processing costs, the 20% that goes to the national office. When we miss a goal, we shave, for every dollar we miss our goal, we shave 60 cents off our bottom line. So that means there's an immediate shortfall of anywhere from $90,000 to $120,000 in bottom line cash to deal with, and a smaller amount in terms of what the national office was expecting in central service revenues from this station. That's not going to affect your national cash flow anytime soon because KPFA has large reserves. As of January 1st, it had about $711,000 in unrestricted cash and another $412,000 in cash that's been tied up as a collateral for a secured line of credit that the national office took out. But KPFA is, in my opinion at least, going to have to cut soon and cut hard to keep from running a deficit, which is our goal for every financial unit. KPFK, which was one of the large stations running a deficit that fell behind on its central service payments through the first quarter, outperformed its budget by about $31,000 on the bottom line, which basically means they're on target. Their listener support was better than budget by $80,000. Their spending on salaries and related was $71,000 higher than budget, but that's basically a one-time overage. It happens because they did their staff reductions a few weeks later than budgeted, and also because they incurred severance costs, which were unbudgeted. But their monthly spending should now be in line with what was budgeted. Your issue with KPFK right now is cash flow. They started the year with almost no cash in the bank. The balance sheet I just saw for the end of January showed that station with $25,000 in the bank. Their monthly expenses are about $227,000, and they've got a payroll coming up on the 15th that's $151,000. So I don't know. They're probably going to need a cash transfer from some other part of the network to make payroll. They started Fund Drive February 6th. I've heard, and this is secondhand, that average daily giving has been somewhere around $35,000. If you're assuming 50% are credit cards and that you're able to run those transactions the day after they're pledged, you're still not going to amass enough money to make that payroll by the pay period in the middle of the month. So not so much a deficit problem concern at KPFK right now, but a big cash flow concern. And if they are, in fact, raising $35,000 a day and that doesn't turn around, they'll be short on their budgeted winter fund drive goal by quite a bit. And then there will be a deficit concern. KPFT has been missing its fund drive goals. Year-to-date listener support is $40,000 less than budgeted. Expenses are basically on budget, but that shortfall in on-air fundraising is going to throw the station into deficit. That $40,000 is the first quarter. The fund drive KPFT just went through came up 27% short of budget. So the fundraising shortfalls don't look like they're turning around there. And I should say it's nationwide. I mean, it looks like it's the economy. Every station is coming up short on their fund drives. WBAI, the financial statements I gave you, showed the station underperforming its budget by $230,000. A significant portion of that, and this is based on the information we got back from the general manager there, looks like accounting works. About $100,000 has to do with how CPB money is being accrued versus what months it was budgeted in. And so I don't think that's a real shortfall. It's just an accounting quirk. Tony Reynolds, the general manager there, said other timing things having to do with events and direct mail account for about $40,000 of the shortage. That still leaves about $90,000.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, he said they did a direct mail drop in January rather than December. So since it was budgeted to happen in December, they're showing a shortfall against the budget, but they did the drop. It's just not.
When you say direct mail drop, you're saying they sent out requests for funds?
Exactly, a fundraising solicitation.
Okay.
Sorry. Please tell me down if I'm going to ask. I'm very
fascinated. Later than you normally do, so it didn't get credited. Whatever funding they got.
Well, the income from it is not showing up in their first quarter financial statements, even though they budgeted it in their first quarter financial statements.
Okay.
So on the surface, the statements show a shortage there, but the actual structural deficit is going to be a little bit less than it looks like. There are real shortages, though. Year to date, the fund drives have collectively fallen a little bit short of goals. About 22,000. Rothenberg ticket sales, 22,000 short of budget year to date. The Nation advertising campaign, this is per Tony Riddle, about 13,000 short of budget.
Renee, this is Jamie. What it is at WBAI, we have a sort of year-round ticket sales that a fundraiser that's on one of the shows. So that's one of the line items in our budget.
And in terms of spending, you're about $58,000 higher than budget. This is like KPFK. It's probably fixed now. The $58,000 is from reductions happening about 6 weeks later than budgeted, but they have happened now. so your monthly cost should be reduced accordingly. Point being, WBAI is not falling as short of its budget as it looks, but it's still falling short of its budget by a considerable amount. And there's really no room for error here. WBAI started the year with basically no money in the bank and a lot of money owed to the national office because it has not been making essential service payments for quite some time. It's required transfers from the national office to make its rent, or at least it did in December. And it's only paid back part of it, and I haven't heard yet on whether or not it did in January as well. LaVarne may know. And WBAI's budget assumes that in April the station's going to be able to cut its rent in half. And the plan was actually to physically bisect the space they're in and either sublet out the other half or give the other half back to the landlord. What we've now heard from WBAI, or what Tony Riddle told me, was that the landlord would want a one-time expense of $135,000 to actually do the physical work of dividing the space.
Can I modify that?
Please.
I believe I saw in an email somewhere that the landlord, according to Tony, months ago had offered a reduction of $60,000 for BAI giving up half of the space. The total rent is $250,000, so they would not be saving a whole $125,000, which would be half. It would only be saving about...
I remember that figure, Grace, but I think it's $60,000 this fiscal year. It's if they start saving money in April, they've only saved money for a portion of the year.
I see.
And when you spread it out over a whole year, it's quite a bit more.
Okay, well, the landlord so far, I talked to Tony last week, wants about $125,000, $135,000 worth of renovation that we would pay for up front before the possibility of a sublease. So I think that that's out of the question because the lease is only going to go on until 2011, I believe. And I don't think it would be worth our while to make that large an investment to reduce the rent for that short a period. But anyway, that's the latest.
Great. Well,
okay,
that's
yeah,
a good update. So the point
Brian
being in terms
up.
Of... Sure. In terms of looking at WBAI's budget, the budget to show a small surplus at the end of the year had to assume that rent would drop partway through the year. And now what we're hearing from Grace is it won't, or on the off chance it should, there's going to be a large unbudgeted expense associated with getting it to drop.
Can I ask a question about that?
Please.
If that is something, a topic that the National Finance Committee is talking about, which you are, why would that not be in a report so that, I mean, when we're at various distances, it's kind of hard when one person said, oh, this is the situation, but, oh, I got an update, you know, from somebody who said, are those things going to be, like, in writing or so that we could, everyone could have that? Because that's kind of... It'd be different if we were all in the same room. You could pass around that latest letter or latest note.
Renee? Yes, the hope is that we'll have good communication and good financial reporting, so we'll all have the documents in our hands. The reality is that at the moment we're not quite at that phase, so we are going to have to rely on, you know, people having latest information. So our goal is to get to that situation which you are describing.
Yeah. Renee, I'll apologize. I don't normally give reports of this nature to this committee, and Jamie just asked me to put this together a couple hours ago, or I would have something in writing to you. But I believe LaVarne's going to be giving us reports in the near future.
Yeah.
I thought that Brian was just, he's given some update and some flavor to the report that he actually delivered last January the 30th down in L.A.
Yes.
So, and that report, like Jamie said, he hadn't sent it out to Renee. Hello, I'm LaVarne. But that's basically what we're doing now. That Brian did say he got the update from Lynn on the balance sheet, and he gave a little discussion on that. But that's where we are today. It's not that, and plus this, well, this is you guys, well, also, I'm also the Finance Committee, so we're trying to establish exactly what you're saying, what the format is, what and how we need to get the information out to each one.
Jamie, could I...
Could I mention something about
BAIs? Yeah. The lease goes till December 31st, 2012, and we had some folks in from a company that deals in subleases, and the short version of it is it was not looking too good because BAI is paying, I think, $38 a square foot, and right around us, other spaces right in the same area are renting out for low 30s, high 20s per square foot. So, you know, the
got a lot of empty space on Wall Street right now, huh?
Yeah. Well, and in that general area, in the financial area down there, even a block or two away in either direction, and so yeah, I mean, entire Lehman is gone. That's a building. It's a giant building. So there are huge caverns down in that area. And so people can get leases for a lot less than we could charge. So it was also pointed out that if the landlord is getting the is going to get the sublessee in there, the landlord isn't terribly motivated to get somebody in to pay less than we're paying. So I don't know if the landlord's going to want to do this at all, and I agree that, in my personal opinion, it looks like this ain't going to happen.
Okay, thank you, Paul.
So anyway, the point being, WBEI is behind budget, and there's something coming up in the budget we had put together, an assumption that now looks like it won't play out, which is that WBEI would be able to save some money on its rent for a portion of the fiscal year. So I'm flagging to you that the station's behind and looking to fall further behind in the near future. In terms of what this means, WBAI's balance sheet, this is December 31st, shows about $127,000 unrestricted cash on hand, current liabilities totaling over $1 million, most of that money owed to the national office, although there's a lot of payables and stuff owed to outside vendors as well. And basically, WBAI's cash flow has been propped up by transfers from the national office, which is now having its own problems. The problems at BAI are going to have an immediate and direct impact on the stability of the rest of the network, and this needs to be a high priority.
Can I break in for a second?
Yeah.
What the statement that Brian made is a statement that we have been trying to make over the last, 4 or 5 years. But, you know, we're really in a position there where it is totally impacting in terms of what the national office can do to offset and to help cover BAI and to forego central services from BAI. And
Jamie,
it's critical.
Jamie?
Yes,
I want to point out that all the money, and this is important, all the money that goes to the national office to cover its expenses and to cover the governance comes from the five signal areas. There is no cash cow at the national office. Thank you, Jamie.
That's actually not entirely accurate. There's also affiliate fees that come into the national office.
Absolutely.
Without of direct mail revenue.
Exactly.
But it is the lion's share, Alberto. You're absolutely correct.
there is.
Here's the point.
Yeah, the SCA income also, but, you know, there's an argument about where that should go or where it should come from.
Okay, sorry, folks. I got cut off the call. I was hoping that we could, Brian could finish with his report for the next rest of the stations, I guess it's WPFW and the national office.
I'll try to go real fast.
Love on. I mean, it's actually very helpful, Brian, and I'm very gratified that you can do this.
Keep going. The point is there's no savings or cash reserves for WBAI to draw down while it's running a deficit, right? It's going to come from some other part of the network for as long as they continue to do so. WBAI has now made all its budgeted staff reductions, and they were significant, and I'm sure they were severe and disruptive. But what we're seeing in terms of fundraising performance against that budget and in terms of what we know about the rents dropping now, I mean, those cuts will not be enough to stop the bleeding at that station. It's diminished, but it has not stopped. So I think there needs to be some immediate contingency planning on that front. Or not contingency planning, certainty planning. Moving on, WPFW, our Washington station, first quarter, and this is just what's in the accounting package. I haven't had a chance to review them with anyone there, but in the first quarter, it's looking like it's $134,000 behind budget on the bottom line, which is actually quite a lot at that station because it's a small budget overall. That's about 20% of its budget for the first quarter. Listener support, $74,000 less than budgeted. It's a large shortfall on the fall fund drive. Community events income is about $28,000 less than budgeted. They say this is a timing thing. This is the Duck Race fundraising event has been postponed and did not happen in the first quarter as budgeted. I'll remind members of the committee who are on for the budgeting process that was one of our areas of concern because it's an event the station hasn't done before, so we do consider it unproven revenue. Let's see. And spending is pretty much unbudgeted except for $37,000 in unbudgeted legal expenses. It's actually underspending in a couple other areas, coming out just a little bit under budget overall in spending. The upshot, WPFW has carried a large cash balance for year to year and built up its reserves over the years. So in the immediate term, a shortfall there is not going to impact national finances. But WPFW fundraising shortfalls are large enough that they're throwing it into deficit and will draw down those reserves pretty fast if there's not some kind of corrective action. The national office on your income statement looks good. It looks $204,000 above budget, but you have to remember that these are accruals. The national office is accruing income every time central services come due from the station. But two of the three big stations, WBAI and KPFK, have not been making timely payments. So that's not actually cash in the national office's bank accounts. A lot of it's IOUs. The national office is very short on cash. On that balance sheet, for the end of December, the national office had just over $100,000 in non-restricted cash on hand. At its monthly spending rate, that would be about 20 days cash. And remember, January is a deficit month for everyone. No one's in fund drive anywhere in the network in the month of January. That's a month where we just spend down the month if we already have. The national office's mail fund drive income, $75,000 better than budget. So good for
the national office fund drive?
Mail fund drive. Direct mail campaign.
Fund yeah, direct mail. Okay.
So good for whoever organized that.
How did that come out, you said? I'm sorry.
$75,000 better than budgeted in the first quarter. I told you about the central services. Those look $50,000 better than budget, but that's partly because they are not accruing a portion of the central services that could be that should be going to the archive on the archives books as budgeted. On expenses, just a little bit lower than budget. $13,000 of that is because the national office isn't paying off any principal on its line of credit. It had budgeted to start paying it back, but it's just making minimal interest payments. And part of that, and this looks like it may be a bad bookkeeping entry, is that insurance expenses are $22,000 lower than budget. As everyone knows, your insurance expenses don't fluctuate wildly from month to month, so it looks like something didn't accrue that should have gotten accrued. So in terms of where that leaves the national office, they have a lot of outstanding obligations they're not able to deal with. They've been falling behind on vendor and contractor payments and then having to borrow money from several of the stations to make them up. They needed, I think, an infusion of $100,000 from KPFA, KPFT, and KPFK to get caught up on Democracy Now! Payments this month to make sure, Amy.
SBAI.
Oh, excuse me. Of course, WPFW. Yeah.
Added to that.
All the stations. Let's say all the stations. I don't have a breakout. They don't really have any cash on hand that will let them, for instance, help WBAI make rent, as they have had to in the immediate past, or to help KPFK make payroll. And the national office is also having to hold on to about $230,000 in community service grant funds that were due to WPFW and KPFK. The upshot of this is there's a deadline. If you don't put that money on the books of the stations it was granted to by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting by the end of the fiscal year, which is September 31st, the CPB can ask for it back because it is restricted money, and it does have to be spent at the broadcaster in question. So you're $230,000 in the hole on something that you can't really roll out indefinitely. You've got to have a plan for paying that back by the end of the year.
Is that the end of this existing fiscal year?
That's correct.
And that's to WPFW. What was the other station?
KPFK.
Okay.
And the Pacifica Radio Archives, which is our seventh financial unit, on its bottom line is about $54,000 worse than budget. Its fundraising is up to budget in the first quarter. In fact, its on-air fundraiser exceeded its goal. But its central service revenues, its share of what the station paid at the national office, is short of budget.
What station are you calling?
This is the Pacifica Radio Archives. It's not a station, but it is a separate financial division.
Oh, it is? Okay, thanks.
It gets broken out in our audits and in our financial statements. And, again, I haven't gone over these numbers with anyone. They're spending about $18,000 more on tape restoration and preservation than budgeted in the first quarter. So they're getting starved by the central service payments not happening the same way the national office is, and that could create problems there in a couple months. So, you know, basically the upshot of all this is the immediate concern is cash flow in New York and Los Angeles impacting cash flow in the national office, and then that draining cash away from the stations, which would be KPFA, KPFT, and WPFW, that do not have immediate cash problems, going to have a real hard time paying bills in the immediate future. The intermediate term problem is that none of our stations appear to be having fund drives this winter that are in line with what we budgeted. Even though we budgeted for a downward trend, we didn't budget for as severe a downward trend as we're experiencing in the current economy. And if that's not dealt with, then we'll be digging ourselves further into the hole. So we got to worry about how we're paying bills right away. And we also have to worry about bringing our spending into line with what we can realistically expect to raise in probably the worst economic recession of our lifetime.
Okay. Is that the end, Brian?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I really thank you for – well, we also have to thank Brian for pulling that together in very short order for the PNB, and it really wasn't his job. But
anyway,
thank you, Brian. So why don't we now move on to LaVarne, and then if people have questions regarding these issues, we can ask either Brian or LaVarne.
Okay. So Brian talked about the national office. So in terms of – I can just give you a summary in terms of where we are on the national office itself and where we expect to be at the end of February. So as I stated in my introduction, I kind of gave you that information then, but I'll give it to you again. At the end of February, as far as our cash flow, we expected to be almost break even, but we're not. We would be in a deficit based on just the projected numbers that I have right now. And as Brian had mentioned about Democracy Now, and which we plan to make the January payment, and then we're paying Free Speech Radio. So the January payment for Democracy Now is at about $50.4 1,000, and Free Speech Radio is 34.6. So, and he had, Brian also spoke about the CPB grant in terms of how, what the rules and requirements are with CPB as far as getting that to the stations. And I think a lot of the way, the reason why it's still at the national office is the way the payments were constructed or laid out as far as the way the previous CFO had his the payments and all of that laid out. So that's something that I'll be looking at in terms of how to, when to move that over to the stations. And I think one of the main reasons for him, for Liney, to, for Mr. Hicks to have that on the books was that delay and the shortfall of central services that I think of central services that, that have not been transferred to the national office, and that was why he has continued to. That's why he had those still at the national office. But let me just reiterate again, like I said, is that the national office, we do anticipate a shortfall. It's, we're almost at break even, but a shortfall. And when you start looking at when you start reviewing reviewing payments and invoices and statements that are received by our vendors, you know, you have to look at those carefully in terms of how, which ones that have priority, or the fact that if we do have to prioritize the payments at this time. So, you know, that's something that we're looking at. But again, our forecast at this time is to have somewhat of a shortfall on. By the end of February, based on our projections. And as far as the balance sheet, Brian was trying to go through in terms of what the cash position was at the end of December for the various stations. And I think that looking at the fund drives, and again, you know, how successful the fund drives will be, we're it's still an unknown, although we have been projecting, I believe people have said, about 20% below. But I understand even with KPFK, they had stated that today the revenue and the fund drive had started picking up on an hourly basis. I think they were looking at about $5,000 for 3 hours during sometime during this morning at KPFK. So again, and as everyone who has been involved in fund drive know that toward the end of the drive, it usually picks up, and you know we all are aware of the economy at this time, and that unless there's cash in the unless the listeners have cash and have jobs, that then it's difficult for those people to even send it in to our stations for listening during the fund drive period. But we know that that the budgets that were done. I just want to talk about that a little bit too. Is that so? I'll be looking at the budgets, and what we'll have to do primarily is to look at doing a plan update on the plan to really adjust for the shortfalls in revenue and perhaps forecast where we think we'll be at the end of the year. And also, as far as the layoffs that were implemented. A lot of this information I need to get into the national office, because we have to be certain that the plans that were put in place have taken effect or will take effect in all of the stations. So our position as on a national level is that, as we're saying, we're expecting, or we're seeing some shortfalls. We're seeing shortfalls at this point compared to even the last fund drive. With the fund, with the returns on the fund drive, we are looking at a slight shortfall in the national office. So again, what this will require is that, you know, as the interim CFO, we have to look at our cash flows, look at what the position is, cash around the network, and determine that we can meet our obligations like we should. The other point I just want to make is that with KPFK, as far as I think someone had asked about the software, Great Plains, and when do we close, that right now we have a closed calendar where we don't really close until the 20th of the month. So that's something that we'll be working on over the next 6 months is to change the closed calendar So, and the reason why it's set up that way now is that most people don't receive their bank statements until almost the middle of the month. So that's another plan that I'll work on and I'll lay out in terms of how we can change the closed calendar so that we're consistent with getting the numbers as current as we can by, like, within the first week of the month versus 3 weeks or 4 weeks into the month, because then you're basically lost, you know, where you stand in terms of your cash flows, because you're already into the next month by the time you're trying to look at it. So we definitely, Mr. Hicks had started outlining that, you know, we do have shortfalls. The budgeting has not really, over the last few years, have not really reflected the decline in revenues, and that we have to, at this point, my plan is to lay out and working with the business managers. I've spoken with most of them or communicated with most of them. Is to get with them and to get with the general managers and look at doing a plan update on these numbers, so we'll have numbers that will reflect what we believe what will happen through the end of this fiscal year and 6 months past that. And even at this time, we'll also start going into the plan, the budget for 2010. So that's basically in terms of a summary of where we are right now.
Okay.
And thank you, Brian.
Thank you. I guess now we can take questions for either Varn or Brian. Let's see. I would like to start. I am very concerned that we deal with what looks to be... Well, first I'll give out one bit of information. Brian actually touched on most of the fund drives. We have a separate item on our agenda for fund drives, which actually is now moot, except BAI is also in drive now, and we're about 30% through it, and I believe we're about, pledges are coming in 77% of the goal, or 78% of the goal. So there, if pledging stays at the same rate now, we should, you know, there will be a shortfall here too in this current drive on the same order of what was announced at KPFT and KPFA. Of course, we have to wait till the end of the drive. You know, sometimes these things pick up, but that's what it looks